My name is Rob Rose, and I'm not wearing any pants. It's the Corey and Joel Radio Show.
Oh, hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the Corey and Joel Radio Show. I'm Joel.
I'm Corey.
And we're back with you for another show. 126.
Good God.
It's the number of this show. If you're keeping score at home.
Well over 2 years of this nonsense.
Well over. Which is our third year.
Beautiful as ever.
Still going.
To gaze into those big meatballs that you call eyes.
Somebody give us $5 a week, and I swear to God, we'll stop doing it.
Yeah.
It's Corey and Joel. Anyway, we're back with you. It's another great show.
Yes, sir.
And we have, this is the Stone Roses everyone's listening to at home.
Yes, sir.
From a compilation CD called The Complete Stone Roses. So you can listen to that.
Darlings of Manchester.
It's some old Britpop for you. All right, we're here with you now. This guy.
Speaking of old, it's not British, but.
Speaking of old. This guy is considered by some people, or at least one guy, the greatest guest in the history of the Corey and Joel Radio Show.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
It actually goes something like, your best
funny,
guest
funny, funny comedy.
Your best guest ever was Billy Hildebrand.
Yeah, I enjoyed this show very much.
He was your finest guest ever.
I liked you German guy.
Yeah.
So anyway.
I told my mother and my pater that this was the best show ever.
So Bill is back with us.
Terrible
doing, Bill?
Impressions.
Yeah, well, I'll take any fans I can
All
get.
Right, that's good.
Bill Hildebrand.
Show 126.
126.
3 years of this.
We're going on.
I understand the audience doubles every year.
Well,
we're up to 12, and that's exciting.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Fastest growing radio show, pod show on cable. That's
all right,
great.
I'm glad
congratulations.
I'm glad you're monitoring that because we
you,
have
Bill.
No fucking idea.
Well, Bill's been a guest several times.
Three
and,
to six to
was
12.
Last heard on the roast.
Yeah,
that
Bill
debacle.
Was on the roast. And most people have distanced themselves from the roast.
That's okay.
You know, but Bill.
I know. I put way too much work into that.
Yeah, Bill actually was one guy that.
Bill wrote jokes, and that's why.
I spent too much time on it.
Bill is a professional. He's I consider him a mentor in this business, this horrible, awful business. And he's an older, wiser figure, a father figure. Almost a grandfather figure, which is why I got Bill.
Oh, you have candy for Bill.
I bought Bill some candy I thought he might like. Werther's Original.
Oh, yeah. That's old
well,
man.
There
so,
you go.
That's old man candy. That's
would you like some candy, little boy?
That's the very definition
if you
of
don't know Werther's Original, in the late 80s, they ran these terribly creepy ads in which a grandfather had his son and his grandkid
would
in the lap.
Would induce his grandson into sitting on his lap.
With Werther's Original candy.
Yeah, that was the creepiness of it.
Yeah. You know, very disturbing
somehow.
He had
to sit on grandpa's lap to get the damn candy.
Yeah.
Why somebody didn't clue into
well,
that.
Well, there you
no,
go,
wait
Bill.
A minute.
Thank you.
Well,
no, we love having you on, Bill. You're not around often because you're out there on the road.
When you see me, I'm not making any money.
Exactly.
That's the way it boils down.
Well, Bill's been a fixture of the Detroit comedy scene, but now...
A fixture. Yeah, on the handle
the
right next to on the shower.
Some would call you a monument.
I'd rather be a monument than a fixture.
Really?
Fixture. I'm the bidet of Detroit
exactly.
comedy.
You're the handle on the toilet of that is Detroit comedy.
Wow.
But you know, you were the handle on Joey's Dearborn, that's for sure. And that was the
and
bidet.
Then that flushed right away, didn't it?
Yeah, talk about bidets.
Yeah,
it's a terrible toilet flushing sound.
Well, but anyway, so
why don't we have a toilet sound effect?
That's a good question. I can get one for
funny,
you.
Funny, funny, funny comedy.
You played that twice now. That's your quota on that clip is done.
Fine.
For the next 70 minutes. But Bill now is playing all over the world. He's gone international.
Global.
Yes. So for our fans across the pond, as they're fond of saying in England, I was in Germany. I was in Wernemunder.
Wernemunder.
Or as they say, Wernemunder.
Yeah.
Wernemunder.
And it looks like, you know, they got the cobblestone streets and they got the Bavaria.
Yeah.
You expect a crowd of villagers to come around the corner with torches at any minute.
Really?
The fiend must be found. Frankenstein's monster is loose. You know, it's hilarious. It's just like a movie set.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's
Now, you're doing cruises. You're on.
We
call you Barnacle Bill now because you're on the boat so much.
I'm Sail Bad the Sinner.
Yeah.
Sail Bad the Sinner. Forget it.
You try and call Bill and it'll be a message. Yeah, I'm on the boat for the next 8 months, so why don't you kiss my grits? And
He's always the phone might work as we're going through the Panama Canal. So I might be able to get back with you then. But until then.
Hey, if you click on my website where I got my schedule.
And that website would be?
Funnybaldguy.com.
Okay.
I got my schedule there, and it says, in the Caribbean for NCL. And if you click on it, it says something like, see you later, suckers.
Really?
Yeah.
And
whatever I can to rub it on. I got like four comics. Right. I won't tell you who they are that I call.
Oh, from the boat?
Yeah, when I'm on a beach or something, and I just start singing to them. The whole wide world can fuck right off, doo-da.
So you're sipping a margarita on the Lido deck,
and they're really
annoyed. Some assholes in Iowa playing Giggle Funks.
Some guy
stuck in his car at a truck stop in the middle of a snowstorm.
That's exactly
on his way to make $100 a night at some club.
Trying to earn $10.99.
Wow.
Well, it's good, Bill.
It's great. Thanks,
good to have you back. Now, you were saying the last time I saw you, I think personally, not on the show, but we were hanging out that you had a lot of stuff that you were going to say on the show.
We don't hang out, ladies and gentlemen. Joel and I do not hang out.
We were hanging out. And
I think you get your Alaska hat.
He
that's
bumped
from the
into
boat.
Me at a comedy club. We don't hang out.
Well, we weren't hanging out now, specifically for the purpose of hanging out.
You were doing Alaska tours, and now you've moved up to European tours.
Well, is there a pecking order on the tour?
No, it's all on the planet. Where
well,
would you
I
go?
I know, but there's would you rather go look at a narwhal humping in the frozen rigid or go to the Mediterranean?
No, Europe is where you want
to
go.
Europe is the best one to get.
So
the audiences must be different between the Caribbean.
Screw the audiences. Look, you don't do it because of the audiences. The audiences are a write-off.
Really?
Yeah.
It's for the buffet? Is that what it is?
It's
for that buffet deck?
No, they just stare at you because, they're a captive audience. They got nowhere else to go.
Right.
So they see in the schedule there's a show. Well, they show up for that. Now, two-thirds of these people have never been in a comedy club.
Yeah.
They got no idea.
Okay.
And if the average age on the boat happens to be, and the cruise director has this information, they know the demographic of the cruise. They know where they're from, what the percentage is. They know the average age. They know the youngest person, the oldest person on the ship.
Really?
All that shit's on a computer readout. And when you find out the average age on the ship is 70 years old. No, I'm serious. I'm not making this up. That's old.
Yeah.
And I walk out there. They could, they're looking for Jackie Mason. They want Milton Berle, and he's dead.
Yeah.
And they get me. They just stare at me. Like,
really?
Yeah. It's,
so it's even your Chuck E. Cheese bit doesn't work on
them. Even,
they don't even know what that is. They look at you in
Chuck
stared
E. Cheese.
Awe.
And then take a third of those people and make them British, and then see what happens.
Yeah, they don't get it.
I got a little taste of this at an Indian casino a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, there you go.
You'd play a casino in these old fart bags and they're,
Yeah.
With the Virginia Slim dangling out of their mouth.
Yeah, Cochise.
Clinging to life.
Cochise is
looking at
you
like,
what the fuck is this?
Yeah. Some guy waiting.
Sitting bull in the front row going, what the fuck?
So there is the European cruises are the best ones in
but
what
the European,
way?
Because of where they go.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the European cities are just way cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Caribbean
it's better
ports
than Moose Knuckle, Alaska.
Boring after a while or something?
Yeah. Huh?
The Caribbean ports must all blend together after a while.
Yeah, it's poverty.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's just one part of poverty-stricken city after another. You ever been to Acapulco? I mean,
no.
What a dirty, crappy place.
Yeah,
it's horrible.
But they got a beach.
They got a beach.
They got a beach, and it's a good place to sell
tchotchkes. And it's a dirty,
crappy
beach. There's shit floating in there and stuff, I mean, the United States, everybody expects us to clean up our act. You go anywhere else in the country, and there's a bucket of shit right into the water. They don't care. Man, anybody who talks about celebrate diversity has not been anywhere. I'm serious. No shit. Yeah. They have not been out of this goddamn country because what these other people do, the way they treat the environment and shit, is just amazing.
Wow.
Well, I went to China, and I remember one thing that shocked me was that any kid under five, the street was their toilet.
Yeah.
Like the parents would just they just hold the kid up like a distance from their body and just let him whiz away into the street and just going everywhere. I was like, wow. Anything under five, go ahead. Let it rip.
Mm. Well, I mean, so Europe, is that like you get off the boat and you can actually have a good meal somewhere?
Oh,
is it one of those things?
Yeah.
I guess. That sounds like a good time. Are you sick of the boat?
Joel's terrified of the rest of the world, Billy.
He ought to be.
Yeah.
No,
I don't blame you. You should be scared.
I'm scared of the Middle East.
Gypsies take one look at you and, man.
Joel told me the other day that you can't eat hummus because that's the enemy's food.
Well, I didn't say that exactly. I love the way this
side is he on?
Corey, never call yourself a journalist because that was the biggest misquote of all time.
No, it wasn't a misquote at all. You said, "Don't who eats Middle Eastern food? That's the enemy's food."
It is.
Yeah.
What do the enemies eat? Exactly.
Wait a minute. The Chaldeans aren't our enemy.
Well, some of them are. Some of them are.
What do you mean not some of them are?
Some of them are.
Chaldeans left the Middle East because they didn't want to deal with that shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
They came here because we have malls.
They're one of the few that said fuck this.
I know. We talked about the Chaldeans. It's fine. Don't worry about this. Corey just tries his way to slander me, and he tries to get
slander
everyone on
you.
His side.
I quote you exactly.
And really just hates me in general and is
no,
jealous.
No, Bill's telling you, Bill's feeding your xenophobia by telling you the rest of the world's
a
dirty
shithole.
But I mean,
there's something to be said for that.
I'm just telling you that there's some real bombed out shit out there and why everybody looks at us because we're the consuming country. I understand
well, we're
that.
We're from
but
Detroit.
Still,
we know from bombed out shit.
These other
though.
People got you know.
We know from bombed out shit. I'll take you down I was in Jefferson.
I was in Barbados. You know, no, this is supposed to be some big touristy thing, and I'm trying to find a payphone. You know, and got you know they got sewage running right through the street and everything. It's hotter than hell. It stinks like hell. Wow. You know, and the party stores all look like the bombed out shit we have in Detroit. I took a picture of it because it looked like a Detroit party store.
Yeah, in Barbados.
Really?
And this one guy ran into this guy from the ship as I'm trying to make my way back to the ship. He goes, oh, what do you think of Barbados? I said, I'm from Detroit. I could have stayed there. If I want to be next to stinky water, you know, and sewage and bombed out stores, because that's what it was. It was horrible.
Wow.
So where have you been? Take us on a little tour. St. Croix?
I can't remember. It'd be boring to sit here and list all that.
Cayman Islands?
No, I'm serious.
How long are these tours you on?
It depends. Depends on how long the cruise is. Most of the cruises tend to be just a week.
Yeah.
But the one I got coming up this month is 2 weeks because it starts in L.A. and ends up in Miami, goes through the Panama Canal, stops off at Acapulco. See, this is what I mean. This is boring. Goes to San Juan, Puerto Rico, goes through the Panama Canal, someplace in South America.
Now, do people get on and off these boats?
No, they get on at one spot and off at the other. They don't get on and off at the... I mean, they get off and visit the city, but they're not bringing on
passengers. They're on the whole cruise.
So the people that get on in L.A. get off in Miami and have
so
to fly
how
home.
Many shows can you do?
Well, here's the dirty little secret. Don't let this get around.
Okay.
And that's why I'm telling you this on this show.
Exactly.
Because I know it won't get around.
Yeah.
No one will ever hear it.
Our secret.
But the dirty little secret.
I couldn't keep a secret to Billy. Yeah, go ahead and say it.
Well, here's the secret.
All right, mate. Down here in Perth, Australia. We'll sit on a secret.
The secret is, in most cases, if it's a 7-day or a 14-day cruise...
You do two games.
I do 2 30-minute shows.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, there you go.
Holy
it's like stealing
crap.
Money. Yeah.
That is like stealing money.
It is.
I'm nodding. That's why you don't hear anything. I'm just nodding.
Yeah, he's sitting there.
Yep.
He's lighting a cigar with a $100 bill right now.
I'll tell you what, as far as comedy goes, as far as I'm concerned, it's the brass ring. You can't do any better. I mean, you're not, you know, everything is picked up. They're paying for your food. It's better than being on the road. I mean, you can't, you know. And they're paying me what we were paying guys, you know, like Knucklehead that was just Novi.
That's a good gig. Right. It's a good gig.
It's a great gig.
It's a good
and
gig.
I'm glad to have it. The only thing is, and I know a lot of you guys don't want to hear this, but you got to be clean.
Yeah, that's
and
that's
people
not
feel
easy.
they're selling out if they're clean. And I sat next to a couple Knuckleheads, and Knuckleheads is my new deal. Knuckleheads and Nitwits. That's my two new words.
You trademark that? What are you, Don Rickles? Hockey Puck?
No, that's Hockey Puck, yeah. But I sat next to these two Nitwits at the castle, and this one guy was saying, I'm never going to sell out. I'm never going to work a clean show. I'm not selling out.
Yeah.
I'm just laughing my... Yeah, I'm just laughing my ass off. Thinking, yeah, you do that. You stand your ground, big man.
You keep living on $100 a week or whatever you're making.
Go for it.
What, you're telling me $100 to go to Oshkosh, Wisconsin isn't a good deal?
At $3 a gallon?
Yeah.
No, let's go.
And you told
me
that.
Literally, I've seen postings for
that. But you asked me that today. You're like, should I go to Cincinnati for $100? I'm like, no.
No. I'm not saying no to that gig
should.
But yeah,
unless you got another ulterior, you know, if there's another reason to go, like these people need to see me, then I will get other gigs.
Well,
and 9 times out of 10, that doesn't happen.
Right.
Joel and I both played these casino. This casino run that was supposed to be clean, but the money was pretty good for that trip. So
that was the one in the UP.
You did the UP casinos? You just did them too. Yeah.
Well, no, but early in the year. Well, which there's two casino runs now up there.
Oh, really?
Two different ones. Yeah, okay. There's the one with Brimley.
That's the one. There's the Brimley Harris.
Now there's another one with Sault Ste. Marie.
Oh, is there really?
And something else.
Oh, okay.
There's a bunch of casinos up there.
So, There's two casino runs now.
Yeah, a bunch of casinos and a bunch of
But they both got to be clean, so-called clean.
Yeah.
But even up there, you can say shit.
Yeah.
You can say shit in
the
casino.
I put the fuck in my back pocket, and I braved my way through it, and it was fine.
But on a ship, you can't say shit.
Can't say shit on a ship.
Use the word shit, no.
Really? How about I'll tell you what. How about mailed?
I say ass, and I say damn, and those are the only two words I use.
Yeah, okay. And are those words? Now,
and I use them once.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, the letters and words of a wizened, bitter old sage, but Bill Hildebrand.
Somebody told me once about a ship, and maybe it's just a different line, and they have a different rule.
Yeah.
But that there's an early show and a late show, and the early show is the clean show, and the late show, you can do whatever you want.
Caribbean.
That's what a guy told me.
Caribbean does that.
Yeah.
Because younger people are going to the Caribbean,
that's
right?
Their deal.
That's like a party, more of a party ship.
Yeah,
than what
do. Caribbean does that.
Because old people don't even want to go down to Acapulco and
but
shit.
The problem is, what you find when they do that is, and yeah, this is a long story, but
it's a long show
because they have done this on the NCL ships. Okay.
Okay.
And when they do it, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Because they advertise it as being a dirty show and then people show up and get offended anyway. I'm serious. That's what happens.
Okay.
They, but we didn't think it was going to be that dirty. See, everybody's got their own concept of dirty. You get some church group thinks we're going to go up and say the word poop and they're going to laugh.
Yeah.
And it goes over the edge with somebody saying, fucking well, it wasn't supposed to be that dirty. And so that's why NCL doesn't mess with it.
Okay.
If you just say clean and just leave it, then you don't have that gray area of, well, what's your idea of being clean? We run these, every once in a while, they'll have an amateur night. It's an open mic where people can come up and just tell jokes, right? And I'll volunteer to run it because it's something to do.
Sure.
I mean, I want something to
do. Otherwise, you're twiddling around playing shuffleboard.
Otherwise, I'm drinking rum out of a monkey head all damn day. The monkey heads they carve out of the coconuts. That's me. I love that shit. But anyway.
Sounds good to me. Sounds like a good gig to me.
So you go up and you tell the audience or the people that are there to tell jokes. You tell them, look, it's got to be clean, no swearing. And then some guy comes up and the first word he says is pussy. And you're like, and you admonish them. And they're like, well, what? This is a true story. At the Baltic thing, they let me run this deal. And this guy got up from the Isle of Man. And I just told everybody it's got to be clean.
Right.
Which is not actually a gay paradise.
And you can't
denigrate
anything.
Sure.
Or anything. So this guy gets up, and the first thing he says is two niggers walk into a bar. And I'm like, whoa.
Whoa, hey. Whoa.
Yeah. So I pulled the guy aside. Well, from the Isle, he's like, what? I mean, to him.
The Isle of Man.
Well, yeah.
But that
you
happens
can say the N-word.
That
what
happens
was the
a
problem?
Lot when you play hillbilly places, when you play, like, back roads. People will come, you come off stage and like, I got this joke for you, man. You should tell this in your act. These two coons is robbing a liquor store.
Right.
You're like, wow. I'm going to put that one right in the repertoire. Yeah.
Well,
I love it when people go to tell you a joke and then I start off saying, you can use this.
Yeah,
yeah, like you wrote it. You know.
You have a copyright on this. Mm-hmm. That
I love that. You can use
that. You're going to wave
now,
for
we,
me.
We know some terrific comedians, like Eddie Vestude.
Yeah. Do you ever hear this guy?
Have you ever heard Eddie Vestude? He's a tremendous. He
can
should
you,
be working
the boat. Can you do this on the boat?
Can you do this?
Hey, everybody, I'm Eddie Vestude. What's the deal with rent-a-cars? You ever rent a car? Boy, do we take good care of those babies, huh? I'm putting cigarettes out on the seat. I don't even smoke. I don't care.
Think,
I like
Bill?
The smell
Come
of
on.
Burning velour. Call me a wackadoo. You can do stuff with a rent-a-car you would never
best.
Do with your old car, like floor it, then put it in gear. You ever try that? Get up to about 95, slam that emergency brake on, bat turn, one Adam 12, see the man. And you know that noise when the car is already on and you start it again anyway?
Bill, we're laughing
I've been
at
doing that
face.
All day just to annoy people. I'm driving over here. Guy goes, hey, you're screwing up
Bill's
the battery doing that. I said, it's a rental car. He
right
went,
now,
cool.
There you go, Bill. Well, on a cruise ship near you, Eddie Vestude.
Now, but here's what I'm listening to on this thing. Yeah. Besides the fact that the guy's got no timing. and he's just, plowing through shit.
Yeah,
there's all this laughter. I'm thinking a lot of the laughter is post-production.
Well, that's from America's Funniest Videos.
Well, but I'm still thinking there's a lot of post-production.
But I don't
are you trying to tell me that the squirrels don't actually talk on that show?
When a squirrel
jumps in a guy's nuts and doesn't go, hey, I got you, woo, protect your nuts.
No,
that
I'm
squirrel's not,
saying, not
actually talking.
I'm not saying that at all.
That's way too edgy for that show.
Yeah, I know.
Squirrels talk.
No, we found that on, and then we found out that's Tim Welko's character.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe he's doing
which is so much less hacky than his regular act.
Yeah, we saw his regular act.
Yeah.
And we're like, he's doing a hack act, but yet you hear his regular act.
No, I heard the difference.
It's kind of like a master bank robber robbing a McDonald's just to show. He's like, look, see, don't watch the big hack act over here. Watch me rob this McDonald's.
I can rob anything.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, that's
so that was
stealing a Hope Diamond.
I haven't seen Tim in years.
Yeah, well, maybe you'll see.
Call
Eddie.
Me a wackadoo.
Yeah, wackadoo.
Maybe you'll see Eddie Vestoon somewhere.
Call me a wackadoo.
Be on the boat now. Don't you work with other acts on the boat?
Well,
aren't there other like during the other like the room that you're in when it's not comedy night? It's
yeah,
something
no,
else.
They got jugglers, they got magicians, they got giant stage shows. I mean, huge productions of like in 30 people with. And all these the stages on the bigger ships are just like regular theater stages. They got all the scenery that they fly in and fly out. They got this Peter Pan thing. The guy actually comes in on a wire and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's fairly impressive. Yeah, the
guys
stage.
On wires, and then they come watch you.
Yeah,
it's a little bit of a letdown, isn't it?
Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for the Gene Ann Ryan Company. 30 people come out, a big orchestra. Now here's the comic. No, I'm not.
Now hold on,
here,
hold on. You let's be honest. You do have production value in your show.
I have a
cup with a microphone on it. And that is which you have soldered and welded and held together with hopes and prayers.
I've been accused
for
of being,
7 years.
I've been accused of being all sizzle and no steak. That's correct.
Now does the cup come
all
on,
flash and no go?
Does the cup come on the boat? Does that
oh that
the
cup
goes
has been
on?
Around
it's been
the
around the
world, baby.
And do they never have problems at customs with the boat with the cup?
I hide it in the luggage.
They never look at it and go, "This looks like a bomb or something."
Bury it in the luggage.
It's because it looks like it's what is wired together.
And it's in a lead case.
Seriously. Now Bill is a master. I have seen Bill work a room. And he is a black belt, and I have seen him work a room, and I've seen Bill die horrible deaths. Bill and I have played shows together for hillbillies that don't care, and watched him die. But then you see him in a full room, and Bill is jujitsu and everybody.
Yeah, but a full room, just
around.
About everybody is. That's another dirty.
No,
little
there's
secret.
There's a way you can. I mean, you kill in a way that other guys don't.
That's another secret. The more people there are, the easier this is. You know, the average Joe, the civilian thinks if there's more people, then it's harder. No, it's easier.
No, it's easier. It's always easier. But the other dirty thing is guys go, well, you got to be able to make 10 people laugh the way you make 150 people laugh. And you're like, you can't do that.
Well,
nobody does
but
that.
But I know what they're saying.
Yes.
You know, you got to do this. You got to do the same. You got to give them the same energy you would 100 people.
Sure.
Is what they're saying.
But nobody makes 10 people
but
look like
no,
it's
no, it's never the same. No, yeah, that's exactly right. Well, I'll let you have that one.
That's the oldest canard I always hear. You got to make 10 people laugh like it's 200 people. But fuck you. You can't do that. You know, 10 people are going to look at you and you could the greatest comic in the world can walk out there. Chris Rock can come out and 10 people are going to go, "Eh, fuck off. It's just some schmuggy."
What are they saying?
It's some schmuggy that came off the road. I don't know who he is.
All right. You're
some
awful.
Macaca. What was that word?
Yeah, macaca.
Some macaca came out.
What
here.
The hell?
The guy in Congress called
but
the guy
that's like
macaca.
You see, like Seinfeld in the movie. Like Seinfeld shows up at the Comedy Cellar late at night and kind of eats shit in front of 20 people.
Yeah.
And they're giving him the benefit of the doubt because it's Seinfeld.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, if Seinfeld was to take his original act and started today, he couldn't get 5 people to listen to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think things have changed that much.
Wow.
Well, the acts were a lot tamer back then.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't he start like...
But the audiences were tamer, too. Now everybody's into this combat bullshit.
Yeah.
Tear them up. Everybody's into this burn shit. You know, they love the burn artists.
Yeah.
You know, I mean...
And that's why they love our show.
I mean, I'll be up there and somebody will say something out of turn, you know, that I can just ignore. The guy's not really heckling. Yeah. The guy just says something out of turn. But then you'll get two guys going, "Go for him! Get him! Get him!" You know, you know, and I'm going, "Jesus, relax. The guy just said something out of turn, for Christ's sake."
No, and they want to be the show, and I could care less. Like I'm actually pretty good at heckle busting, but I could care less. I just want to do time and get off there. But no, instead you got to fuck around with the audience.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things you don't have to worry about on the ships in Vegas.
Yeah.
You don't have to fuck with the audience.
Right.
Leave them alone.
Just all right.
Do your shit.
Bill is a big star in Vegas.
Do people see on the boat when you're not performing?
Is that
bad or is it okay?
It can be a problem.
Can it? Yeah. What do they want to? What do they want to hang out with you and think you're on all the time?
Look, if you had a great show, it's marvelous.
Yeah.
If you didn't do so well, it's painful.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, you were that funny guy.
Dude, it's painful waiting at a bar in Flint for my, cash for the hour it takes the guy to count the money.
Yeah, it's true.
I can't imagine being stuck in a boat for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Floating around waiting for people to go. You with that unfunny bastard that we saw. You ruined you. Oh.
Well, they try to commiserate with you.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
They try to blame the audience. That audience was dead, wasn't it? Oh, yeah.
So what percentage would you say are, like, good shows by, like, a comedy club standard?
You know,
I mean, like, how many times do you feel like, oh, that was fun and that was worth doing? And other times you just feel like, oh, God, I want to bang.
Actually, it's up to the schedule.
Okay.
In other words, if they let me go on and just do my whole show without breaking it into two 30-minute segments.
Yeah, okay.
Because when you do the comedy, there's no warm-up act.
All right.
They just say, tonight we have comedy, and they're going, all right, you're doing, so you're going to do 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So you get out there, and you're, you know, and some of these auditoriums seat like 1,100 people.
Yeah.
So you go out, and you do your bit, and there's people are still getting their seats for, like, the mm-hmm. first 10 minutes of your show. They finally get settled in for the next 10 minutes. They finally realize that, oh, this guy's going to be okay. This is going to be fine.
Uh-huh.
And then at the last 10 minutes, just as you get them going, you're done.
Yeah.
I mean, all of a sudden, it's like finished. I mean, that's the biggest complaint I get is it was short.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's not my fault.
What do they do?
They don't get it.
Do they do something in between?
They figure spreading you out, they get more of their money's worth, the cruise does, yeah. The cruise company.
People don't know, people who run rooms and tours and things don't understand comedy at all.
Now, the few times,
don't get it.
There's been a handful of times where they've said, look, we're going to put you on 7:30 and 10:30, just do 50 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's gone great.
Okay.
I mean, if they let you do your thing, fine.
Yeah.
And they start to monkey with it.
But when they split it up, what are they doing in the in-between time?
Nothing. They're just going, we're having comedy night tonight, and I do 30 minutes on a Monday.
Okay.
And then on Thursday, comedy night again with Bill Hildebrand at 8 o'clock.
Oh,
and
okay.
Now I'm doing the second half of the show.
Yeah.
And I can't do any of the callbacks because people aren't going to remember, and there's going to be different people in there, and that screws it up even more. That's what
I'm
talking
about. You
can't
do the same show, right?
They'd get no, you're doing just the other 30 minutes.
Wow.
And then they'll come to you sometimes and go, oh, we're in a bind. Can you do 20 minutes for us on the Sailing Away show or the Goodbye show?
Yeah.
Well, you've already blown your wad. You've already done
yeah.
it. And you have to say, yeah. I mean, you can't really turn them down. Yeah, okay, now you're having to, you know, create shit on the spot.
Wow. So who's the boss on the cruise ship?
It's cruise director, man.
Yeah, and that's who deals
with
you?
That's my guy.
Yeah? You deal with him directly?
If I can make them happy, I'm golden.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What about Isaac, the wacky African-American bartender?
He's on every ship.
Give you a lot of grief?
And he points at you, you know, when he
looking at you. All right.
Now, do they put you up in
two Mai Tais?
Do you get a decent cabin on the ship, or do they give you a cruddy one?
No,
they give you one that like wouldn't sell.
I get the same thing the customers get.
All right, that's good.
They don't put you in steerage. You're not sitting in the boiler room eating a plate of.
No, I'm not in there with two other Filipinos in hammocks or
I've heard guys who have to sleep with the crew on ships. I've heard that from guys. I've heard it.
Well, then that's why you don't do Carnival.
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe that. I'm not saying it's
Bill burning bridges and naming names.
I don't know that it's Carnival who does that, but
I wouldn't
heard
do
that
Carnival anyway. If they called me, I wouldn't do them because NCL does things that they don't do lately. NCL pays for your transportation to and from the ship. You know, they pick up all the cab rides and stuff.
Yeah.
Carnival's a revolving door. That's why they have those contests all over the country looking for people.
Yeah.
Because they use them up and they throw them away.
Yeah.
And they say, go ahead and do a dirty show. And then somebody complains that you were too dirty and they fire you. And now they got to go find somebody else. That's what they do.
I hear George Wallace is like the king of the cruises.
Might be.
Yeah. He's on the. You don't hear of a black man on a boat that much, but he's apparently.
Now, would they have a name act like a George Wallace on there?
Sure.
Or is it always, but he would get a different billing than comedy night?
Just somewhere where they had, who did they have?
Did you ever open for guys?
They had a name thing on the ship?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you're.
But if they got a George
Wallace.
You're
A-list, baby.
Would that exclude a comedian? He would be the comedian?
Yeah, he'd be the comic.
He'd be the comic.
They'd still have, you know, another night's comedy juggling. They'd have, you know.
Okay.
I can't believe the audience is going to find this interesting at all.
I don't know.
I'm fascinated.
There's inside dorks. We're going to get to our stuff.
We're going to have a lot more
stuff. We're going to talk about Last Comic Standing in a little bit here, which I'm sure you
have
thoughts
on
that.
The cruise, you shagging lonely divorcees. Let's talk about that. Because that's something I think our audience would be into.
Yeah, there you go.
How is the tail on the boats? Is that...
He wants to know. We're looking for an answer, but... You got to talk. This is radio.
Oh, the look on
they can't. They can't see you.
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Because there's a lot of ladies that'll take a cruise together, right?
Shake a tree, five of those bitches fall out of it.
Yeah, really.
Hornier and all.
Really.
Wow. So it sounds like it might be a
breaking
good time
revelations from Bill.
Well, I just got through telling it. The average age is 70 years old.
Well, you know, look.
Yeah. And you know my theory.
There's a thing called a living will, Bill. And you could get in that living will.
You know,
with a little bit of work, you know, you could get in there.
What I say, you know, women are like dog shit. The older they get, the easier they are to pick up. You know,
so. I want a woman. I gotta have a woman.
Well, that anyway. I guess the cruise ship is where to go.
So Bill is a married man.
He is.
I would say happily, but
we'll let
this show deals
that.
In truth and honesty. And
I'm delighted to be married.
Yeah. Because that life insurance is that health insurance is right. Terrific.
I think Bill needs a beer. You want to go get Bill a beer?
Bill, you're
going to
get the other beer.
We're about to take a break. We'll take a break now.
Let's take a break.
It's a little bit of an early break, but we do got to talk about Last Comic Standing. There's another great show that's on the air by the original producer, Last Comic Standing. Called The Next Best Thing, and we'll have fun with that.
Reality TV Roundup, and more Bill Hildebrand after
we'll
the
have
break.
More with Bill. We're going to get Bill a fresh beer, and then we're going to do... what we need to break the show into two 30-minute segments. And you can use the callbacks.
That's
we
what
think
I'm talking
people
about.
Will remember those from the earlier bits. So we'll play more Stone Roses, and we'll be back right after this with more Bill and more show. All right, and we're back. From the break, we got Bill a fresh beer. That's a Brazilian beer. How are you enjoying that?
It's fine. Tastes just like Labatt's.
Does it? Well, that's good. Yeah. Well, they might like Labatt's in Brazil. I don't know what that is, but...
it's all the same.
Is it really? Okay.
Well.
At this age.
If it's wet and it's got alcohol in it.
And Corey made a remark about it. He's used this in the past.
Did
I don't know where people get this from, where they say, you know, bitter. Now, let's talk about that.
All right, we'll talk about bitter.
Well, I'm not. I don't see where I'm bitter. I do get pissed off because I see the same mistakes being made over and over again. You know, yes. You get tired of the same old shit. But things have never been better. I mean, I've got no complaints.
Yeah.
You know,
there you go.
The whole thing's starting to cash
in. You're content.
Your general attitude.
Even with the last comic standing, I mean, I told you about Leo DeFora's audition for that, right?
No. He
went to Chicago where they were auditioning there, stood in line for 2 hours. He gets on stage and they go, state your name, you know, for the slate and everything. My name is Leo DeFora. I'm Mr. DeFora. How long have you been doing comedy? He said 28 years. And they said, next.
Really?
I mean, he didn't even do any of his stuff.
Didn't get him to
they
do a joke.
Gave him a, said, all right, bye.
They're looking for the next fresh thing.
Well, but no, you know, what's the point of that? You know, I mean, I say to these guys, especially ones that make a comment about the age, especially if they happen to be a club owner or something like that, you know, how would you like it? You know, giant car accident. You got a massive head injury. Your brain is swelling. They wheel you into the emergency room, and the nurse comes up and says, you're in luck. We got the newest, best, freshest face on our team is going to take care of you today.
Hottest,
newest surgeon. He's just out of school. Is going to take your case. I don't think anybody wants to hear that.
And that's what's
happened.
Why
would comedy be any different?
Well,
and that's what's happened on these tours.
Let's get us the youngest, most inexperienced punk to handle this show. What the fuck is going on?
The very first season.
Now, if that sounded bitter, you're right.
No, the very first season of this Dat Phan one, this no talent Vietnamese guy.
Yeah.
And Charlie gets up there.
What's happened to him? Where's he been?
He's gone. He's out of the business.
That's what I'm talking about.
He didn't have 20 minutes, let alone 45, and people came to see him, and he died a miserable death. And even guys that are established, like Heffron, who we've had on the show, he got real hot for a while off the show and thought he was going to just jump into this next stratosphere. I don't think he did. But he hit an acceptable level, and John came on the show and told us we were assholes for that. But he thought he was going to be this massive star.
Oh, his sitcom was next.
Yeah, although
where's that been?
He was on the wheel.
Now John's making very good money doing comedy now, but he's not doing the superstar level.
Whatever. I don't care about John ever. He's never going to do superstar because he sucks. Enough of him.
Yeah,
I don't. This isn't about him. It's about Bill.
That's about Hildebrand. It's about me.
It's about Bill. He's the star.
What is with you?
No, I don't know.
We're talking about the show.
What about Heffron? Who cares?
I'm just saying.
I mean, what you're thinking about, he didn't become this. Well, who are you to decide? I mean,
but the
whatever.
Thing is,
but see, maybe Heffron's like him, and he goes, well, I'm fine where I'm
but
at.
But that's
and
the point
I'm not,
of the
no,
show.
And I'm not
well,
saying
how
John
do you know what
it?
He was thinking? You're like, I know he was thinking this. He was thinking that. You don't know what people are thinking.
But Corey is making my point. Here's what these reality shows are doing. They're pushing a rope.
Yes.
They're trying to take something and turn it into something that it's not. We're going to make this guy a star. If you take enough publicity and glitz and shit and dump it into this, we can turn it into something. And, you know, you can for a minute, but the proof is in the pudding and it goes away.
That was the point.
All right.
About
Heffron. All right. Well, but
the idea is if you win that show, you're suddenly a new big celebrity.
You are the last comic standing. No, you're not. You're the last guy out of those 10 nitwits that they found.
Right.
You know, and the whole thing is manipulated by the management group of the guys that are in the show.
Yes.
They're the ones that are the producers of the show.
Right.
So the thing is rigged to begin with.
Yes.
So there's no point until we start figuring out and people start understanding that half this shit is rigged. Stop it.
It is rigged. And
that being said, I would give at least my left testicle to get on Last Comic Standing.
Well, you've even gone to the audition.
No, I've never done.
You'll give your testicle, but you won't stand in line for 8 hours.
I don't usually go to audition stuff. Okay. People are always telling me, get into contests and auditions.
No, and I'd say stay away from them.
And I don't do very many
and
of them.
Because
they're fixed.
I'll give you Exhibit A of how it's this fixed. A guy that I know, a guy that Corey knows, a guy who's been on this show, went to the Last Comic Standing audition. He actually got up. They put him on the show last night. Should we just play it or should I give my opinion? Should I give the backstory a little bit?
Let's play the clip.
I don't want any backstory.
Go ahead.
I got no idea.
Just see if you recognize this voice.
Do you know this?
It's a fan of our show, a friend of our show, and a funny comedian, I think. Go ahead.
Oh, my God. That's a puppet. That's a puppet.
I got to get something off my chest. You ever be in your bed late at night and suddenly get this eerie feeling there's somebody standing outside your window? Well, that was me, and I'm really sorry about that.
That's not Harry Arton, is it?
Recently, yeah. I went to the really? My leg and my arm amputated.
Yeah, it is.
Are you shitting me?
Yes, it's Harry Arton, and his puppet is there with him, which you'll hear in a second.
And we have the video, too.
Yeah, and we have video for you to prove. But this was on Last Comic Standing, the first episode.
Harry, I love you, but you're just proving my point,
okay,
brother.
Keep playing Harry, though, because Harry starts...
Cost me an arm and a leg.
Can you go to the puppet?
Please.
Shut the hell up. Harry, you're a complete and utter miserable comic. You're failing completely in front of these judges because you're just using wordplays. Stupid wordplays, Harry. What the hell is your problem? Yeah. Shut up, Hortense. Sorry. Right now, I'm dating this Chinese chick. She's really sweet and sour.
He's killing.
What's the puppet's name again?
Hortense, the hand puppet of low self-esteem. He's always like that negative voice that lives inside your head. He screws with me all the time. The other day, I woke up around 12 o'clock. He's like, Harry, why the hell did you wake up at 12 o'clock Bill, again? Don't you ever Bill's, want to make it as an act?
Bill's utter, Bill, it's okay. Utter resignation.
Bill, come on, wake up, Bill. It's all right. It's going to be fine.
All right. Well, Bill, the clip's almost done.
What the hell's your problem?
Okay. Okay. I say thanks for coming.
Now you can go.
Thank you. God bless
you. So they dismissed Harry. They didn't take Harry. They didn't take.
The puppet got the last word.
Next.
They didn't put Harry Barbarian on Last Comic Standing.
Bill, are you.
But here's what I will say. You can watch that clip uncensored on the website where they don't chop it up. They let him do his whole audition and stuff. And the judges were laughing at it. I mean, it's not like Harry's the next great comic.
Laughing
but,
at it or with it.
Well, whatever. I mean, it was funny.
You know, let's. And look at it this way. They're looking for another one of these. Who was the really bad? Who was the Chinese kid that did the real bad karaoke that was a star for a
moment? William Hung.
They're looking for another Hung too. A guy that comes on and makes a complete ass of himself. Well, we can make something out of this too. So
I like Harry.
When I'm Harry sorry, Barbarian I, wins Last Comic Standing,
I got no use for the show.
You can consider this my retirement from comedy.
Yeah.
And in the future, if I want to say something funny or witty or do an impression, I will no longer ever do any of those things.
Yeah, so Harry.
Where's that from?
That's from The Office.
That's I love
that's
the
good.
Show.
Yeah, it's a good show. Anyway, so Harry was on Last Comic Standing. The rest of that first episode was really painful to watch.
Hurtful.
There were a few pros that Corey and I knew that we've worked with.
There was actually a guy I worked with. I couldn't remember
his
remember
name. You can remember the guy's name. That was nice.
And I was like, oh, it was Phil Palisol.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Who's Phil. Actually a very funny guy.
Yeah, he is funny.
And I've seen him, you know,
I've
worked
with
him.
Everybody's marker on the beach for when they get lost.
Yeah.
Where's that real white guy?
Yeah, Phil's a really white, red haired guy, and yeah, he's funny.
There was a few pros. I think there were fewer of them than I've seen in the past. It seemed to be new faces mainly, which maybe is a good
but
thing.
But to see a real professional guy like that. Up, there's no reason he shouldn't win any contest, you know?
Yeah.
Like a guy who's a headliner. There were a couple other guys.
Well, I worked with him in Vegas.
Yeah, not so great.
Wait, no, it was fine, but, you know.
Okay, but going up against guys off the street, you know, a guy like that should do well.
Yeah.
If
they give you enough time to get going.
They don't. They give you like 2 minutes.
They don't because it's rigged. They already know the acts. They already know what's what.
Who was the other guy? The guy with the Dwayne Kennedy? Is that the guy's name? The guy with the dreadlocks?
Yeah, maybe.
He's a guy I've seen on TV a lot. He usually doing, you know, kind of Comedy Central one night stand. Well, you know, this the compilation shows. But I've seen him a bunch.
Okay, he was new to me. But I've worked with guys like Roy Wood Jr. who was on there, and some of these
Ralph
guys.
Ralph Harris was on
from
this
the
thing.
Clubs. Kostaki Economopoulos was on there for a minute. You know, guys that you'd know from the clubs, but it seemed to be fewer of those guys. It seemed like there was a lot of, like, middle acts and MC.
And what's sad is they can't even use that on their resume.
Yeah.
Because you were a loser.
Yeah, you lost on Last
Here's a guy that lost on Last Comic Standing, ladies and gentlemen. Here he is, Harry Arden.
And I think probably more guys that you've heard of do try out for those things and don't. You know, they've got clauses where they...
Yeah, there are guys who get management clauses where if they bomb out and they don't get chosen, that they don't get to run their auditions on the show.
Because
if you're big enough to get that deal.
Jimmy Pardo was on last year, and they made him look like a jerk.
Yeah, they made Jimmy look like a douche, which was not good.
You know.
Because Jimmy's a funny guy, and
it's
he's a good guy.
It's all rigged.
And Harry apparently didn't have that deal in place. So.
The big fat lesbian got on.
The big fat lesbian from Canada.
Who, let's see. I'm trying to remember the people. Oh, there was a guy in a gorilla suit that got on.
Yeah, there was a guy in a gorilla suit who was really funny. He just did a bunch of, like, gorilla puns, but it was good.
Mel Silverback.
That was his real name?
The guy billed himself as Mel Silverback.
You never saw him. He was just in a gorilla suit
the
whole time.
Private Shecky, the guy that
it could have been, but he was funnier than that
He was
guy.
In a tuxedo and a gorilla outfit.
That's why we said
sure it wasn't CC Dynamite.
Well, that's why we said it was like if Harry would refine his act to the point of being Mel Silverback in a gorilla suit, he might go somewhere with that puppet.
I think and it said Hortense the puppet.
They put the Chiron up for his puppet too.
The puppet on the bottom of the screen. They said actually they when Mel Silverback was on it, it said Uganda Africa is his hometown. But anyway, that show is almost unwatchable at a certain
point. Yeah, well, I think I'm going to bail after the audition.
Like I said, I've seen 5 minutes of it in the past 3 years.
It just started up again.
Who was that guy that you – Jerry D? Was that the guy's name?
Jerry D, yeah. He's a guy who got like – you know what? It's just – here's a guy who's probably 37, 38, 39 years old probably.
Yeah.
Maybe even 40. And they're dressing him like he's a college kid. You know, in the whole Abercrombie and Fitch outfit. They get him a haircut where it's like – you know, it's styled, but it kind of looks like he just rolled out of bed, and he's up there doing these kind of ironic shit, and that's what they want to see.
He went and bought a pre-distressed medium t-shirt at Hollister.
It's working for Chris Newberg.
Yeah, well exactly, and wow. I said he looked like J. Chris Newberg without the guitar, kind of?
Kind of.
Yeah. So, there you go.
Chris at least has an angle.
Setting the world on fire, Jerry D., you stupid douche. We're going to get him on our show, and you can play this clip. Remember this.
All right.
Because for Heffron, we didn't even have his clips.
You know,
Heffron's
got to be 36 by now.
Yeah,
37.
Yeah.
He's getting a little long in the tooth.
I'm not saying that show didn't help his career. He's playing at a better level than he was
doing
before.
He's doing corporate gigs for $40,000 a pop.
Right. But he didn't get the TV show that he was supposed to get or any of that stuff that they tell you on the show.
Because they're too busy doing reality shows, which made him what he is.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, it works out for some guys, but it doesn't. You're not going to be the new king of the world from doing that show.
Yeah, exactly.
You get a stigma that you were on it. But now here.
All right. Before we get off the comedy subject, though, and what it takes to be in this business, consider this scenario. You have an opportunity to do Letterman.
Okay.
But the person who is putting this together for you says, I want you to understand something. If you go on Letterman and you don't set the world on fire, I mean, you don't become one of those water cooler guys the next day, which they really don't have much of anymore because, you know, people don't watch Carson
like they used to. Yeah. But
if there's no buzz about you the next day, you're done.
Yeah.
You've had your shot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you want to go up and have your shot? You know, and have everybody go, oh, yeah, he's done Letterman, and you never get to do it again. Or do you want to continue on a career path where, hey, you ought to do Letterman but never do it?
Huh.
See what I'm saying?
Well,
you're right. A Letterman spot doesn't mean anything anymore.
What
if you really went up and really did something? Yeah. When he had on Mitch Hedberg, you know, I think that did something for him.
Okay, the rotation. Where Dave has you on 3-4 times a year.
Because you were that good.
Then that's something. But the single spot
Romano,
that used to happen.
Ray Romano got his show from being on Letterman.
Right.
He did 5 minutes and Dave signed him to a deal and produced a sitcom.
It used to be guys like Drew Carey and Gary Shandling and Roseanne. One spot on Carson, they'd
blow Johnny,
up.
But Johnny was on against a test pattern most of the time. There was nothing on against Johnny most of the time. So if you were watching TV at 11:30, you were watching Johnny. Because there wasn't, you know, there were four channels.
Now you got Sports
Center.
And
there wasn't
Center
a lot
late,
to
you know?
Watch.
But,
you know?
But I mean, if you've done the show and then you're going around saying, well, I've done Letterman, trying to impress managers, agents, and stuff, and they're going, oh, really? Well, and I've never heard of you.
Yeah.
Isn't that worse?
Are you a guy people tell that you should be on Letterman?
Well, let's just say. I just want you to know that I've had this conversation with a guy that said, look, do you want to do Letterman?
All right.
But let me caution you about something before we say yes or no. Now, I said, I said, I'm at the end of this road anyway. Okay. I said, I just want to do it so I can say that I did it.
Yeah.
If it goes nowhere, I'm basically out of this business in a couple of years anyway. So, I just want to do it to kind of top things off.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for it to launch anything. Yeah. I know they're not looking for me.
No bitterness at all. I'm detecting no bitterness.
You know, Bill, this is on the same topic. You know, I believe this is maybe your... Is this his fourth appearance on the Corey Joel Radio Show?
Now you're being made.
He's in the rotation.
Exactly.
He's made it on this show.
Right.
We've had guys on. They flamed Jim McClain. No invite back.
No.
Not coming back. But
Barry Tyson, get out of here. You are a solid gold entertainer.
Those guys have standards.
But, you know, it's not about being the next thing. It's about being the next best thing, which is the name of this awful reality show that's also on opposite last comic.
Now, I wish I'd have seen that.
It's on actually before it.
I love impressions, yeah. Good, bad, or indifferent. I just think they're funny.
It's the stupidest premise, but Joel and I fell in love with it.
Yeah, it's a funny show.
It's an impressions show.
Yeah.
And it's guys coming out and doing impressions. Now, they went to L.A., and they got all these, you know, these guys that hang out in front of Hollywood Boulevard, like hang out on Hollywood Boulevard in front of Mann's Theater or the Egyptian. All these guys just dressed up and thought that they were Superman. And it was great. So we're going to play some clips for you.
Yeah, Bill, you play along. You haven't seen the show. Me and Corey have watched the first three episodes.
Now they're looking for the total package. They want voice and look.
Yeah, it's voice and look. So some guys look like people or some people sound like people. And then there's the guys that we're going to play. And you just tell us who they are.
And there's some guys that are one-trick ponies.
Yeah.
Because I saw a couple ads for the show. This one guy was doing, you know, was doing Rod Serling.
Yeah.
Looks just like him from Twilight Zone, right? But I can't see him doing anything else.
Yeah.
It was just, you know.
Well, that's what they do. They only want you to do one guy, though. Right. They only want you to be the exact, you know, like there's a guy who did a really good Rodney Dangerfield. And that's what he did, and it was good, and they moved him along until you come to the next round.
All right, okay.
And there was, you know, now, a really good Elvis and then 20 shitty Elvises. But
here's we're going to play you some ones that aren't so good.
We just want you, and play along at home. We just want to know who was this person.
Guess who they're impersonating.
We'll tell you who it is, ultimately. And, Corey, you might have to pause these before they say who, but just be careful when you're playing these.
This is funny. I like this.
It is so cool that you invited me to be here with you. In fact, I don't even know who's cooler, you for being here with me or me for being so cool. I'm so cool, I'm hot. And that is cool mundo.
All right, go ahead.
Do you have a guess what that's supposed to be?
Any idea?
Listen, what a handicap this is.
No, you can't see the guy. I know that's bad, but by the...
Yeah, but he's probably doing somebody I don't know.
No, no. These are all people you know, right, Corey? I mean,
I would assume.
We would assume you would know.
So this isn't like he's not doing somebody like 50 Cent or Coolio.
No, he's not. He's doing somebody...
There was a guy
Play it again.
P. Diddy.
Play it again, Corey. Let Bill give Bill one more shot. This is from the 70s. I'll give you a clue.
We started from the top. Here we go.
Right from the top.
It is so cool that you invited me to be here with you.
This is an old...
In fact, I don't even know
who's
cooler.
It's a character from somewhere.
You for being here with me, or me for being so cool. I'm so cool, I'm hot.
All right. That is wait a minute.
You got it. Wait a minute.
I got it.
Yes.
I got it.
Come on. Do it, Bill.
It's the bartender from the Love Boat.
No.
No.
It's not, but you're close. But,
you know, when you're this cool, it leaves me nothing to aspire to.
I want to stop you and say that is the best Danny Terrio I have ever seen in all my life.
Thank you very
much. Fonzie, you know what? I got a great show idea for you. You ready?
It's Fonzie.
Unhappy Day.
It's the Fonz.
Are you kidding me?
Play it again. Play it again. Just a little more Fonz.
That is the blackest Fonz ever.
It is so cool.
He's a white guy.
Is it really?
He's in a shitty leather jacket.
I don't even know who's cooler. You for being here with me or me for being so cool.
I think it sounds like George W. Bush a little bit doing
slang. And that is
slang.
Coolamundo.
All right, that's the fun.
I believe Coolamundo will be a new drop for us.
Bill, if you get any of these, you're...
That sounded black to me.
You're a miracle worker if you get one of these. But
I think I'm going to raise the degree of difficulty. This one's...
I thought the Fonz was hard. I mean, although he did say Coolamundo, and that's kind of what Fonz...
I'm going to give you... This is a giveaway. The guy actually announces who he is, but...
He said, hey.
I might have cut out where he said, but just pause it before it goes too far and see if...
I'm not here today to talk about me.
Oh, see,
I'm here to talk about an impersonator of me. His name is Bob. I've been acting for 5 days.
Who? Any idea who this guy is?
Yeah, he's doing Sean Connery.
He's doing a really awful Sean Connery.
But no one gave it away was the music.
Exactly, I was going to say, they put faux James Bond music behind it. Play some more of that guy.
And I won an Oscar.
Somebody give this guy the gold finger.
Gold finger?
Bad.
The guy's like every 60-year-old guy with a white beard was Sean Connery on this.
There you go.
Oh, it was so
bad.
And
the judges are Jeff Ross, Elon Gold, and Lisa Walters. So a couple comics.
Oh, Jeff Ross?
Yeah, Jeff Ross is one of the judges.
Nice to have him down in Dearborn.
Did you? Yeah,
he was a nice guy.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Jeff.
Jeff Ross, king of the roast.
King of the roast now.
All right, this one's staggering to me. This is a very visual one. But
is it? I don't even know who you're playing.
But the voice is so bad, the whole shtick is awful. Let's just hear this.
I saw this lady last week. I got to tell you, though, this lady had the biggest tummy I would ever see. The tummy was out to here. And I looked at her and I said, oh, boy, what's that? She said, well, that's my baby. Do you love the baby? Oh, yes. Then why'd you eat it?
Well, right. any idea who that is, Bill?
Yeah, it might be.
Jerry Lewis.
Yeah, there you go.
Was it really?
Yeah, that was a guy doing it.
What
was
the
bad
most awful Jerry Lewis? Do you love the baby? Because
that's not even a Jerry Lewis joke.
No.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not even his kind of shtick.
Yeah, he wouldn't do setup punchline like that. He would. You know.
Speaking of doing bad jokes, here's a guy doing... This is terrible.
Oh, let's fly.
How's everybody doing? How are you doing tonight?
Great.
Good. Thank you. Benja, I love television. I love it. Love television. But some of these commercials just...
Oh, I got this.
Who's that?
Red Fox.
No, keep playing it. Keep playing
Not
it.
Not Red Fox?
Not Red Fox.
Piss me off.
It's unanimous. Everybody hates Chris.
Yeah, he does a little
Chris
clip.
Rock.
That's he a Chris saying. Rock.
Let's say that one more
it's
time.
The worst.
I'm about to do it. How are y'all doing tonight?
Great. Sounds like Wolfman Jack.
All right, it's a Wolfman coming at you now, late on the radio. Yeah.
I mean, he was a black guy who, I guess,
thank you.
In that thank respect, you. He looked like Chris Rock.
I love television. I love it.
Oh.
Love television. But some of these commercials just piss me off.
It's unanimous. Everybody hates Chris.
Yeah, Chris Rock. Yeah, there it is.
And speaking of beloved comedians, this one's just awful.
Yeah, this...
This one gives itself away, but boy.
Does this guy give himself away?
Well,
probably.
You can't,
yeah, you'll know exactly.
It's so miserable.
But you have to pay. This has really worked with the visual, too, a yeah. little bit. But
now, I'd like to talk to you about why I'm here today. Now, my wife, Camille, and I, we have 5 children. And she thinks that I am addicted to... The Jell-O pudding.
Who sent you? The Make-A-Wish Foundation?
Right, now, this guy, on the
so
visual...
So me and my wife, Camille...
Oh, no, more of that?
I never wished I had earwax before.
But the visual that is, that's a 25-year-old white guy doing Cosby. That's not
like
even
a surfer
like
dude.
But some of these guys are easy to...
Is he doing like one eye closed?
You doing
the
pudding.
The thing that you say in your show.
Doing the face like you just did a lemon.
Theo. Rudy.
But you know what's great is that, you know, the Chris Rock is so easy to do if you just do, there's black people and it is niggas.
Hey,
and
hey,
niggas.
Hey,
you know, I mean,
hey,
you do it that, oh. But I mean, that's the doing on the show.
God, man, we need some Queensryche.
No, but I mean, that was, I'm doing Chris Rock, but I mean, that's his famous bit, though.
It is.
That's his famous bit.
But they're not even doing the famous bit.
He doesn't even do the Chris Rock famous bit. And he does, like, you know.
Because of music clearance problems, they can't get songs you might recognize someone doing.
Yeah.
So they'll sing like Amazing Grace.
Yeah,
or
the
something.
Singers are singing "Row, Row, Row Your
although,
Boat." A lot of them,
although
they don't have the
Cher. Song. Apparently, they got Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves because yeah. all the Cher girls sing that.
All
the
Cher guys,
the trannies.
Everyone that Cher on this show is a guy. The
show's amazingly bad. It's yeah. great.
It's on though. ABC on
right, we
Wednesday nights.
These last two. No
let's
earthly
get,
chance.
Let's get some money out. You got some money?
No earthly
Bill, you
chance.
Want to throw something down?
No.
I'll give Bill money if he gets this one.
This one's...
Should I give Bill? What do we give Bill?
A lot of ones.
What do you want, Bill?
Like
here's a dollar.
I
got a dollar. Bill, one, $2 for you, brother.
These last two
get
are
this next one.
Impossible.
All right, if Bill gets this one, and don't let it play out. You don't have to bet. I think
I just washed my turkey fryer at the car wash. I don't have any money on
all right,
me
that's
at all.
Fine. But Bill, you get $2.
These two are impossible.
This is a game show. This is all for you. This is not a wager.
All right. Here we go.
Bill right. gets a dollar each. Are we going a dollar each on these?
Yeah, dollar each.
Dollar each.
Good.
Dollar
these
each.
Are impossible.
If Bill gets this first one, it's a dollar.
Oh, but when the sun beats down and melts a tar up on the roof.
I actually don't even know who this is, and I watched the fucking thing.
And your shoes get so hot, you wish your tired feet were fireproof.
It's not pause it before the judges talk.
It's not fair.
Now, I don't even know who. I have no idea who that is, Corey.
Well, so is he impersonating the guy that actually sang the song?
No, this one's not even fair.
I don't even know.
This guy's the worst thing. He's doing an impersonation of a guy who's known as a bad singer.
Keep playing it, though. Is there a little more?
Guy who's famous. He's a famous actor who's known as a bad singer.
Oh, I know who this is. Now, yeah, there's no.
Under the boardwalk.
William Shannon.
Down by the sea.
All right.
What you talk about, Willis?
Yeah.
He was doing Bruce Willis.
That was dead judges.
That was a Bruce
it's
Willis.
There's no way you could ever get
okay,
that.
Okay, first of all, the guy looked like Bill without the goatee, and that was his Bruce Willis. He was kind of a balding white guy, and he was up there, and he was doing like, remember Bruce Willis would sing?
Well, yeah, I know. He had a band.
He had a band, and I guess he was doing that.
Once in a while
so no
shit.
Dollar for that.
This, dollar,
that
right.
was impossible. Though.
This next one
shit,
is amazing.
No dollar.
Does he have a shot of winning this?
Damn. No.
We'll give him the $2.
This one's amazing.
We'll give him $2 for this one.
I love this one.
Give him both dollars.
Listen carefully to this
one. One beer would be fine.
Okay. Do you have chicken fingers?
No, that must.
Yes, we have chicken fingers.
Yes, one order, please, for the gentleman.
Sorry, that was... here, let me give you more.
I like hot dogs. I like spaghetti and meatballs in a can. I like everything with marshmallows.
That's Rosie O'Donnell when she played the retard. That has nothing to do with what we're doing. Oh. All right, I'm sorry. Corey just dropped.
Do you want the good? That was Rosie O'Donnell impersonating an actress. Now, do you want the good headphones so you can really hear this one?
No, okay, that's fine. Good. All right, it's fine.
You're gonna this one, unbelievably, the worst thing you'll ever
All right.
hear.
This should be good.
I just saw Wayne Newton out there. That man is big, man. Oh man, and Cher, she changes more clothes than a woman with a bladder control problem. It's crazy out there.
Dr. Phil's fun.
Oh, you gave it away. There it is.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize that. That's a guy trying to do Dr. Phil.
That's a Dr. Phil impression. That? Does Bill get any of the money?
No, because those were impossible. There was no way. Guy trying to... Let's hear that
Dr.
again.
Dr. Phil. Yeah, play
let's
the Dr.
Phil. Let's hear this
Phil
fucking
again.
Idiot again.
I just saw Wayne Newton out there. That man is big. Man, oh man. And Cher, she changes more clothes than a woman with a bladder control problem. It's crazy out there.
Dr. Phil's funny.
That's why we
When's
rehearse.
He gonna start doing the impression?
Oh my goodness!
You look like him, right? But you don't think you sound like him, do you?
I'm his celebrity look-alike on the Dr. Phil show, and he seems to be pretty happy with it.
Really?
I went to his house, and his dog and cat were following me around.
So you smell like him.
All right, Bill, do Dr. Phil for me, would you?
But anyone can do Dr.
Anybody
Phil.
Can do Dr. Phil.
All right, hang on a second.
Well, I got a good Dr. Phil.
You got to come up with something that Dr. Phil would say.
That's right? Easy. He's got a couple things he says all the time.
If your kids are acting up, you know you've got a problem with it.
That's pretty good. Yeah, there you go. Like yeah. My Dr. Phil, like, what makes you think that you can act like that? What makes you think that that is okay?
Nah, that's actually better than mine.
See, there you go.
Now, the problem here is you're trying to do Dr. Phil, and it's like a polecat covered in grease trying to slide up a fire pole.
Well...
The guy, I mean, like, those are horrible.
It's so easy.
But those are
do.
Closer to Dr.
Well,
Phil.
Well, he's a Texas
than
draw,
that,
yeah. this guy's
yeah,
draw.
There
all
you
got.
Go.
Now, Oprah allows me to scrub her feet while her best friend, Gail, performs oral sex on her.
Really, that Dr. Phil?
That's
that
right.
This thing?
Your problem is, yeah, when you look in the black pit of Uganda, which is Oprah's vagina, you got to really close your nose and get on in there now.
You got to light that flare and say, boys, we're going in.
Okay, these are bad impressions.
You're just going to scream over my Leno because...
Wait, do your Leno. Let's
well,
your
I
Leno.
Was going to interview Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil is here. The new book out. Dr. Phil, you're teaching us how to lose weight. You're a little overweight yourself. There,
well,
right?
Jay, I'm fatter than Chris Farley's bloated corpse after a cocaine binge.
I'm happy to be here on your show, yeah. Leno. I'm prouder than a mother hen sitting on a white football.
Well, you see, I know you like you black go. People. I have to work with Kevin over here. I know you work with Oprah.
Hey, Jay! Ooh, Jay!
Hey, right, Kev, I saw that in the paper today.
That's our impression show, folks. God, thank you.
Joel? Well, you can fix all that in post.
Yeah. We'll dub it.
Can
some
you
real
believe
Leno.
That idiot trying to do Dr. Phil?
No.
There were more. We oh god, we had a million.
There
more.
Was a ton of bad.
There were a couple you know. Bad Trumps.
Well, that was fun.
A couple Donald Trumps. There was about a bunch of Joan Rivers that were all off.
They did a montage of bad Joan Rivers. Can we talk? It was like five of those in a row that were just terrible. A lot of Dolly Partons. You wouldn't think that would.
I always thought I could do Ed Sullivan. That was my
yeah. I'd try a little. Give us a little Ed Sullivan.
Right here now. Right after it was fabulous. Once more for the Beatles. Whoops. Let's hear it for them. I got to do the hands too. I just hit the microphone on Corey's side. I just hit him in the nose. Right here. Now let's hear it for that little faggot mouse Topo Gigio.
Hi, Eddie. Yeah. I love Eddie. You so much, Eddie.
Eddie, kiss me goodnight. Yeah, there you go.
Topo Gigio jokes never get old for me.
Well, that's
Eddie, I am so loving you.
Topo Gigio was a Spanish mouse? Was that the idea with it? Yeah.
I am right. loving you so much, Eddie.
Anyway, it was a puppet, yeah.
Corey almost that was almost Borat there. For
Thank
a
you.
Second.
Well, there were guys doing Borat.
There were guys doing Borat.
Here's my thing. When you're impersonating a guy doing a character, how hard can that be?
Right. The Austin Powers guy was, you know.
Every fucking idiot who works at, you know, Blockbuster
the catchphrase.
Does Borat.
Yeah, nah, it's my wife. It's like so. Wow, wow, wee, woo.
Oh, behave.
Right. Yeah, that was
so pleased
to be in America.
Who was the guy that we liked the best on there? The Elvis that they had was
the
great.
Elvis was uncanny.
They got an Elvis, and he looked like he had maybe even a little face work done, but it was like Aloha from Elvis, Hawaii Elvis. That era, and it was perfect.
That was unbelievable.
Yeah, it really looked
Howard Stern was remarkable.
There's a guy who did Howard Stern on there that was great, you know?
He sounded just like Howard.
Yeah.
There were two good Robin Williams, but the one guy was better.
The guy last night that did Robin Williams.
Because he had arm hair.
Yeah, the guy was hairy.
The first guy did not have arm hair. The second guy had arm hair.
Yeah. I came unprepared.
I've talked to Robin Williams. He's like a Wookiee. Guys, I couldn't even listen to him because I was looking at his thick, hairy knuckles. The guy looks like a primate.
Oh, brother.
He's got a jungle baboon. Seriously, the guy's covered in fur. He could have played Beast in X-Men without any makeup. It was unbelievable. Furriest guy ever, Robin Williams.
You know, tagged him for Teen Wolf.
Who went to Detroit Country Day, by the way.
Did he? Robin Williams? Yeah, he's from the area somewhere.
Well, I was in a theater troupe with him.
Were you really?
I never told you that story.
No! Look at this!
Well, look at, hey!
Look
Billy
at
pulling out a story out
a
of his
world
head.
Well, because, Corey and Joel exclusive.
He lived in West Bloomfield.
Right.
And when I was in high school, I belonged to a professional theater troupe called Detroit Resident Actors Theater, and he was a member.
Oh, really?
And it was they did all classic, they did all Shakespeare and stuff like that. Okay. It was that kind of stuff. And I did two plays with them, but I was never in a play that he was in.
Oh, so you weren't in the
But he
play.
Would come like to the rehearsals or come to the rap parties and stuff like that, but I was never in a play.
This
with
would be
him.
A great point for a Robin Williams impression if we could do one.
I'm not even going to try.
But even back then, he wouldn't shut up.
Yeah?
I mean, it was just this annoying hippie. You know, his hair was really... And I was like, who in the hell is this guy? God, he
was
just
screaming for attention, kind of? Was it one of those things?
No, he was just talented, and he knew he was talented. And
really?
He'd show off, and yeah, it was just...
Guys like that are assholes, aren't they?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Bill Hildebrandt.
You know, and the fact that he made it, he's got no talent. What's wrong?
No, but you know what? Sometimes talent.
He's not on the boat for 8 weeks at a time.
Yeah,
no.
He's not doing a cruise ship.
He's not going to go plot Germany or wherever
sometimes
you're going.
Sometimes really talented guys, though, will show you up like that. Like P.J. Butler. I mean, he walks around on a cloud.
We love P.J.
Now, I know what you're saying, though, about, like, he just knew...
You're only saying that because you got to move soon. There's an inside joke.
You're the famous story of if PJ helped you move, you would book PJ to work the club. That was the idea.
Well,
that was the good old days.
Yeah, we burned that one.
Well, I'll tell you what, Bill.
Burn that connection.
If you start booking anything, I'll help you move. I'm pretty desperate.
If I start booking something, that means I'm moving again. That's
well,
what it means.
As soon as those papers are final and the bachelor pad's ready, we'll help you move. Don't you fret.
As soon as she signs.
I'm going to have a room opening up probably in September,
she
Bill.
She signs right on here. The dotted line. I'll
right
be
here in the studio. So. Wow.
All right, what else we got? That was fun.
I want to talk about your... Now, this is great that I love. We tried to get you for another day.
Yeah.
And you get off the boat. You finally come back into town.
Yeah.
And then you go out on your own private boat for the entire summer.
Well, what am I
it's a little ironic, though. It's
Barnacle
little...
Bill Hildebrandt, king of the seven seas.
Sit around like these other guys in comedy clubs like the Castle and drink all night, moaning my spot in life, talking to guys like Joel. And he thinks we're hanging because we ran into
each
other.
I'm busy doing this show. I don't hang out.
Oh, that's awful.
Bill, first of all, I spend most of my evenings performing as Upchuck the Clown nowadays.
Thanks
but aside
to
from that, thanks to Bill. Bill is the reason, I guess I'll tell this story here. I don't know if I've ever told it on there, but the reason I started working for Insane Clown Posse is
now,
because of Bill.
And the lesson being here, as he tells you this story, is I got the call first.
Exactly. No, I was going to get to that. I was getting to that.
And the thing is, I said to myself, this isn't me. Oh, I could have gone and took the money.
Yeah,
sure.
It wasn't a lot of money.
But I knew for somebody else, this could be a career move.
This is the most greatest moment of my life.
It wasn't a bad moment. It was all right.
So, go ahead.
No, but you sent me I think it was an email. We were hanging at the Comedy Castle.
No, I called you and said,
I think
call
we're sitting
this
at the Comedy
guy.
Castle, and you said, I'll email you the stuff tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I got the email, and I responded, and then I got the gig, and you're responsible.
Well, there you go.
And I'm still doing it. You know, I do a radio show for them now, and I do a bunch of stuff.
It's growing.
It's good, you know.
He carries Mr. Two Dopes makeup around in
the
case.
Dang, I've never done that.
He helps apply.
I'm international. I have girls sending me naked pictures on MySpace with that character.
That's what I'm talking about.
There you go.
Mr. Violent J's lipstick is applied by Joel.
Fame is wonderful.
Nah, it's fine.
Joel helps juggalos get GEDs. It's a whole outreach
Corey,
program.
Shut up. None of them have a GED. Stop it.
Yeah, it's true.
Stop making
shit
up.
Stop making up lies.
But no, but Bill got
Joel
me
helps
thing.
Get them nice lawyers.
I want to do this. You want to come on and... Maybe you'll come on that show. Maybe come on as my dad or something. You'll be like an angry clown. We'll just do it on there. You want to do that one?
An older
night?
Version of you. Yeah, you'll that's be the even old, more pissed off.
The old version of Upchuck. Upchuck's dad. Yeah.
Way to go, son.
But you're like maybe.
No, the apple doesn't fall from the tree.
Yeah, like you'd be like an old circus clown, and then I went and quit, and I quit the circus to be with ICP. And you're like, yeah, he's like an old, you know, juggling
Slummo
Ringling Brothers
clown.
Guy.
Slummo.
Yeah. That'd be fun. You want to do that some night?
Burnout of the club.
Yeah, whatever. We'll make up something. All right. We'll work it out good.
Look here, Upchuck, in my day.
Exactly.
Doing a bad Krusty impression.
Yeah, exactly. What do you think?
Oh, my God.
I used to shove a seltzer bottle up a Juggalette's ass before breakfast.
That was the test for any good clown. You couldn't take the seltzer bottle. You couldn't be in the union.
See, he's got it. Start working on material, Bill. We'll do that in a couple weeks.
There's nothing like good seltzer up your ass. That's the reason I became a clown. I don't know about you. That and to get away from your mom.
Yeah, see, there you go.
I predict Slow-Mo will be a
big I think so. I'm for that. I think that'll work good.
Someday soon they'll be doing impressions of Bill doing a character. Fucking people doing Mike Myers doing...
Well,
one guy was so fat. One
It'll
of the
be
Elvis,
a movie.
One of the Elvis guys was so fat, he looked more like Andy Kaufman playing Elvis.
Oh, is that right?
I'm like, that would have been brilliant. That would have been brilliant. You do your impression
an
is
impression
of Andy
of
Kaufman
a guy doing an impression.
Doing an impression of Andy of Elvis.
Didn't you say that you want to go on as Rich Little or something? Where was that?
That would be somebody should impersonate Rich Little. Yeah, doing impressions. Well, some of these people got on and looked like other people.
Yes.
And they didn't look like who they were trying to impersonate. Yes. One girl looked like Scarlett Johansson, but she was trying to do Dolly Parton.
She was doing Dolly Parton. She looked like Scarlett Johansson.
All right, so if Joel went on the show to look like somebody, who would he go on
Who
as?
Would Joel impersonate? Fortunately, no one in show business
is
that ugly.
Aside from my great Leno skill, I don't think I have a little brother.
No, I'm talking about look-wise.
Look-wise, yeah, I don't know.
I'm talking
know who
about
looks
face,
like.
Just to do
Newman?
The face.
Wayne Knight. No, I don't know. There's really no one
Name
in show
the
business.
Fattest guys in show business, Corey.
I could do Tony Soprano, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, there might be a possibility for that. There might be a small outside chance of that.
Once upon a time, a former girlfriend of mine, she was with a guy, and I came up and started talking to her, and the guy's like, was that Tony Soprano lookalike hitting on you? And then, you know, she dumped him. But whatever. I got the goods, you know what I'm saying? Hey!
I don't know who I look like exactly. You know, I don't know. Mm. I don't think I look like anybody famous. Maybe that's a bad thing.
No one famous looks us at all.
No one attractive looks like me that's been discovered.
Completely true.
But then again, you're a fresh face, though.
Paul Giamatti.
I got that.
Nah, that's a stretch, dude.
I know. There's no one looks
you're
like
right.
Joel.
Okay, that's not a fun game. Let's pick something else.
All right. Well, I think
let's
wrap
play
it up.
The what comedian in Detroit have we not insulted this hour?
But you were saying, you know, the last time I talked to you though privately, you said you had big stuff. You were gonna piss everybody off. You were at all kinds of stuff. As soon as you got off the boat, you're gonna come on the show and you were gonna make people angry. You were gonna tell the truth. And what
well,
was that all about?
You didn't ask me any of the right questions.
Well, I don't know. Well, we got 5 minutes left. What
is it? Like it's a mystery game?
I don't know.
You didn't ask me any of the right questions.
I don't know where we're going here.
I don't know. We dumped on Efron pretty good.
Well, is that
we
one of the people
that
you were mad
kinda,
at?
That was
it sounded like you
I'm
were
not,
mad at people.
I'm not
then,
really
that was
mad
a gang
them.
Tackle.
But the last Comic Standing thing, we pretty much debunked that whole deal, so I don't think anybody's into that.
Is it true that almost.
We got guys out there winning contests right and left that aren't going anywhere either.
Yeah, is that true that contests are not all rigged? They're all rigged, right?
Well,
if you have a comedy contest, chances are there's an inside player.
Yeah, chances are. Now, like Mike Green winning the thing in Vegas, I doubt that was rigged.
Okay.
But by the same token, you know, so what's it got him?
What does he get out of it? Yeah.
I mean, he was at Chaplin's last week, making the same goddamn money I'd be making if I was.
And
there.
The same money that he was making before he went to Vegas.
Yeah,
and
so what's the deal?
Well, the guy that won the Vegas contest last year was that guy Josh Blue, who went on to win Last Comic Standing. Now, that guy's retarded, but that's sort of.
So they had past judges on the show. Who were the past judges?
Oh, on Last Comic Standing?
Yeah, they didn't have Heffron on.
No, it was Ant, the gay guy who was on there, Alonzo Bowden, who was.
Now, that's one
three.
Example. That show did turn him into a regular nuisance.
Yeah. He's on a lot of reality shows. Now, Alonzo Bowden, who won season, he was on season two, he won season three. And Kathleen Madigan was on there.
And used to eat at Bob Evans with Joel.
Yeah, and Alonzo Bowden, I used to drive around to shows in Grand Rapids before anyone knew who he was.
There you go.
And took him to Bob Evans. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's who they add for judges, and
I got no. Kathleen is a veteran; she deserves, you know, attention. But I just this myth that that's, you're going to go on TV suddenly and overnight, boom, you're a new star. You know.
Yeah.
Well, not anymore. But I mean, you consider. I mean, for instance, as far as stand-up goes, I got no idea how good Letterman was.
All right.
I've never, has you anybody never ever seen him. His
I've
stand-up?
Seen, I've seen a couple.
There's clips of him from the Comedy Store.
But all that we know is that he did Carson once and had a deal.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, one shot.
Yeah.
How nuts.
He was
is
supposedly
that?
Huge at the Comedy Store. It was thought, like a big draw for
I
a long
thought
time there.
That he hit the deal at the Comedy Store with him and Leno, both of them, is that they would do, you know, these showcase things. No one was headlining. Guys were up there doing 10 minutes or 20 minutes, and then the next guy would come on. And that Leno and Letterman were the house MCs. Hmm. And that sort of prepared them for hosting these shows. No?
I don't know.
That's what I've heard.
Hmm. I've seen very few clips of Letterman
stand-up.
But
they weren't in comedy very long, though, either.
Right, right.
I mean, I
don't know that Letterman was a guy who...
Letterman
years.
Was a weatherman in Indianapolis for a while.
Yeah, I don't know that Letterman was a guy who, like, headlined Vegas or anything. I mean, think he did.
If you consider that if he got his show in 82 or 83...
Yeah.
And let's say he got started in 75.
Yeah.
That's only 7 years.
Right. I've been doing comedy longer than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Certain things.
And look where it's gotten us.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Yeah, I've got an audition to be a weatherman in Indianapolis next week.
Oh, terrific!
See,
I actually there's some of the early Letterman footage. He hosted like a movie show in Indianapolis, like a
really.
They just like he was the weatherman, and they gave him like a Dr. Mabuse. You know,
but I thought he moved to L.A. after having all that Indianapolis stuff. That he was in Indianapolis doing all that, and then he said, "I need to go to L.A." He was famous in Indianapolis. And said, well, this isn't getting me anywhere being famous in Indianapolis. I got to go to L.A. See, you
Which
and I
right.
would have much more success in L.A., believe it or not.
Yeah, there's a lot of good delis that are open late.
But I'm saying you and I,
Fat Burger,
doing this show, I mean, and no offense to our guests that we've been in here, we would have a higher quality of guest, probably.
No, there's no higher quality than Bill
Hildebrand.
No, not
the quality Hildebrand. As far as a good guest.
No, well,
names.
Well, name
I'd
recognition.
Fly in and do your show. make no mistake.
You'd ride the boat when the boat dropped off
in
Santa Monica.
When I got to catch a ship, I'd come do the show for the day before. So.
Well, thank you, Bill. I appreciate it.
No, I was just going to say, we were going to talk about some of the local guys, I thought.
Well, we're running out of time.
Some of these guys I'm just tired of.
All right, go ahead, quickly.
Yeah,
dump,
please.
Give me one
Burn
name.
Bridges. Let's
give
go.
Me one name you hate. Who's a local comic you hate?
We're going to have to make a list.
People at home don't
did
know.
Did you see Dave Landau's appearance on Comedy Central?
No, nobody even knows. Our audience doesn't even know who that is. All right.
Well, local guys, Rob Little was on TV. Dave Landau was on TV. Harry Berberian this week. It's a huge week for local guys.
Nobody knows those other names, but they know Harry.
There you go.
Anyway, Bill, I want to thank you for coming on the show.
No, I want to thank you guys.
Thank you for getting off the boat. I know that...
for having me drive the 20 minutes it takes to get here.
Is this really 20 minutes for you to get here?
You got a couple beers and a Werther's Original out of the deal.
It's right in their backyard here. That's why I'm here. It's not like they're going to fly anywhere.
No, we're not doing anything like that. But thank you for coming in. You want to plug the website again? Tell everybody where that is.
Funnyballguy.com, but I rarely update it. The video on it's old, and it's just full of shit.
Well, so are you. But anyway...
Oh, there they go again.
Hey, now.
These punks.
Come on, the jokes are the same as that
was. That's going to be the name of my new CD, by the way.
Punks? Yeah.
Take That, Punks. And it's going to be a picture of me in a tuxedo with boxing gloves in the corner ring, and I'm spitting out my mouthpiece, and a guy's handing me a cocktail, another guy's handing me a cigar, and I'm sitting there half beat up. Take That, Punks is the name of my new CD.
Corey, anything you need to say? We need to play more music. We're running out of time. So
read me at MetroTimes.com.
Yes. Catch me on the Fun House on W Fuck Off Radio. You can catch me on there.
Join the mailing list.
Join the mailing list. We got a lot of good stuff on the mailing list, so check that out.
Send your emails to email at CoreyandJoelRadio.com.
And, okay. And that's going to do it. Thanks a lot, everybody, for listening. There's more Stone Roses for you, and we're going to go and catch you next week.